Very grateful the Lord saw fit to get you here today. Church, I want to encourage you this morning to shore up your faith. It is evident what's going on around us in this world. It is clear that the powers of darkness are very active. And it's also clear for us here at Sunrise that the enemy is trying to pick some of us off. And he's using different things, pain and suffering and sin and temptation and distraction. And this is not the time to weaken your grip. This is not the time to loosen your connection to Jesus Christ. It is time to tighten, to strengthen, to draw near. And so today, as we take a look at a name of God and a description of God revealed to us in Scripture, my prayer is that this description will bring us comfort and strength as each of us just try to live our lives faithfully. I mean, that's our goal. We want to be faithful to God. We want to stay close to Him. And, falling away has happened to some really good people over the years. Some really good people have just lost their faith. And so it can happen to me. It can happen to you. We don't like to think of that. We don't like to think that, that can't happen to me. I'll be faithful forever. Well, if you've ever met someone or known someone that wasn't faithful forever, you know that it can happen. And so I, your elders here, we want you to be faithful forever. We want you to stay close to God. We want you to find the reward of your salvation, of your faith, and of your hope. And so this morning I'd like to pray for you and for your faith, and just ask God to shore each of us up. Let's go to our Father together. Our Father in heaven, we have entered holy ground. We have drawn near today through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, today I pray for the church. Today I pray for each member. I pray, Father, that you increase our faith. I pray, Father, that we stay close to you no matter what happens. I pray, Father, that we trust you and not lose hope despite whatever we go through. I pray, Father, that we will band together, that we will encourage each other, that we will reflect your glory and remind each other of why it is we believe. Father, I pray that you protect our members this week. I pray, Father, that everyone knows how to stay strong against the enemy. I pray, Father, that everyone is well versed and practiced with your spiritual weapons. I pray, Father, that all of us will know how to lean upon the blood of Jesus. That we will know that we are saved and that we will love as you have loved us. Father, strengthen us in all things and help us hold on to our faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope you, from Josh's reading in Ezekiel or even the songs that Oren led us in today, I hope you caught today's name for God. Yahweh Rohi. Yahweh Rohi. In simple transliteration spelling in English, R-O-H-I. R-O-H-I. Rohi. Rohi. You might see another one if you go back to the Hebrew. You might see another translation that may give you R-A backwards apostrophe A-H. R-A-A-H. So, most scholars find it R-O-H-I. So that's what we're going to go with. The easy way to say it is Rohi. Yahweh Rohi. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. So we're going to go back and we're going to start in Psalm 23 this morning, a familiar scripture and a familiar idea, because all throughout the Bible we have sheep and we have shepherds. It's a popular motif. It's one that God uses for himself and for his relationship with people. And I don't know, I'm sure you've heard lessons describing the nature of sheep and what it's like to try to shepherd them. But we're going to take a look at this name, this title of God that again shows us about him and shows us about us. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It is good to know that we have a shepherd. And in this psalm, the Song of David, we get this name, Yahweh Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. And it describes what God does for us. Verses 1 through 3, God provides. God provides for his sheep. And so the first declaration, the first exclamation, the Lord is my shepherd, Yahweh Rohi, I shall not want. I will not be left out of anything. I will not be set outside. I will not be left alone. I will not be neglected, because God is my shepherd. And because he provides, he meets our needs. He meets our needs for food. He meets our needs for peace. And he meets our needs for guidance. And so he says in verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He shows me where the best food is. He lets me lie down by quiet waters. He takes all the chaos of everything going on around me and he puts me in a place where I can be still. That's what God does for us as a shepherd. He provides for our needs, he feeds our bodies, and he puts us in a place where we can just breathe. A place where we can breathe and trust that he is taking care of us, that he is feeding us, and then In verse 3, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, that God provides for us guidance. Where do we go? What do we do? What should I do in this situation? What is the wise thing to do in what I'm going through, and what my family's going through, and what somebody else is going through? Well, God leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God, I want to bring glory to your name. So what do I do here? What do I do here? And so God, as shepherd, provides for his sheep. And then in verses 4 and 5, it shows us that God protects his sheep. God takes care of. He says, even when it gets dangerous. So God is feeding us. He's taking us to a quiet place. He is guiding our lives. But sometimes we're in dangerous situations. And so in verse 4, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even when things are dangerous, even when there is evil all around, even when I can be hurt from this, I will not be afraid, because God protects. And that's what a shepherd does. So a shepherd provides, and a shepherd also protects. The world is dark and scary, isn't it? The world is a scary place. And I don't think it's any darker, any scarier today, but boy, we sure hear more about it, don't we? We're all connected to it. I mean, you want to find dark and scary, you're just about that close. It's easy. It's easy. I mean, we don't even have to leave our homes anymore to find darkness. We don't even have to go and seek it out. We can just invite it in. And we can invite it in quickly. We can invite it in quickly. And so, even though the world is a dark and a scary place, we do not have to be afraid. As God's sheep, we fear no evil. We're not afraid of evil. We're not afraid of evil because we have a shepherd. He is with us, and his rod and his staff, they comfort us. Well, what's a rod and a staff? Well, two things. They're going to protect me from the enemy, right? And also, they're going to protect me from me. Get back over here. That's the rod and the staff. So God is with us, and as his sheep, he is beating away any enemy, any animal that would come in and try to do us harm. And he's also protecting us from falling into such harm so he can pull us back to where he is. So whatever we're going through, and we go through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil. And then in verse 6, God is shepherd. He goes beyond provision and protection. David ends this and he says, all the stuff that God does for me, he's going to make it overflow. In verse 5, the table that he prepares for me, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. You give me more than I can handle. You give me more than I deserve. You bless me in ways greater than I can imagine. And so all the days of my life, goodness and mercy are going to be right there with me. That is Yahweh Rohi. That's what it means to serve and love and offer gifts to and pray to the Lord, our shepherd. The one who is taking such good care of us. Now, we also find this, and let's turn over to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. Josh read for us in Ezekiel 34, starting in verse 11. But the first half of the chapter, God goes after the human shepherds, those that were responsible for Israel being faithful. And so he goes against them and he says, look, you had a job to do. And part of the reason, because you remember, Ezekiel's one of those prophets that is ministering to God's people during a time where they are exiled to Babylon. And Ezekiel was one of those prophets that got exiled with them. And so he is taken to a foreign land with all of God's people. But even in all that trouble, even amongst all their sin, God still shows up and he says, hey, I want you to talk to my people. I want you to talk to my people. I have a message for them, even when it's difficult. You know, we go through and as we go through these, I can only assume a lot of us just look at that and go, why so much of that? Why do we read so much of these Old Testament prophets and why such loud and powerful voices during the exile in a time where God's people were being punished for not being faithful? And it's so important to hear that God is still speaking to them. And Ezekiel, his entire ministry, God shows up and says, look, you haven't been faithful. I've scattered you around, but I still love you. You're not doing what's right. And so there is punishment, but I still love you. And again, we, as God's sheep, we get that same message that we share with our kids, right? Kids, if you've ever been in trouble, any kids ever been in trouble in here? Oh, okay, all right. A couple of us are, oh, yeah, I know trouble. And even when we get in trouble by mom and dad still love us, don't they? Yes, they do. Some of them are like, yes, they do. Even when we have to get in trouble by mom and dad still love us. Even when we have to get punished, mom and dad still love us. It's the same thing with God as our shepherd, right? He fights away the enemy, and he also pulls us close to him when we're getting out of line. And so God gives this whole book to Ezekiel, his prophet, at a time when God's people, his sheep, have not been good. They're not doing the right thing. They've not been faithful. And so in chapter 34, the first 10 verses, he goes after the leaders. And he goes, you guys haven't been good shepherds. If you were doing a better job, then the people would not have gone astray. And specifically, let's see, look at verse 10. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths that they may not be food for them. So God has a problem with the leadership of Israel and says, you aren't doing your job. You think that a leadership position is just to make yourself wealthy, healthy, and just off the backs of everybody that you're supposed to be leading. So he goes, I've got a problem with you. And then Josh read for us the second half of this chapter. He goes right to the sheep and he says, all right, people, I am going to be your shepherd. I tried with them. They didn't do it. So I am going to be your shepherd. I am going to take care of you. And so that is such an encouraging message. That's such an encouraging message to say, God cares about us enough that even when other people are doing us wrong, God's going to step in and say, I am going to take care of you. Now, the difficult part is because it's easy sometimes to be a sheep and say, oh yeah, see, the shepherds, they were bad. Our leaders were bad, right? So we shouldn't be at fault. Then he looks straight at the sheep and he goes, yeah, but you need to hear this. You're treating each other poorly. And did you catch that in the second half of the reading? He said, you're jostling for position. You're being led to a good place and you're eating all the good grass and you're just knocking people out to get yours. You're going and you're finding clean water. And instead of getting a good drink of it and sharing with your neighbor, you're just walking in there with muddy hooves, stomping all in it, drinking all the clean water and then leaving dirty water for everyone around you. So he says, as sheep, as his followers, you have a responsibility to treat fellow followers in the right way. So the leadership was not acting correctly, and the sheep weren't acting correctly. So what's he going to do with all of this? Let's see. Go down to verse 22. Back in Ezekiel 34, 22. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David. He shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. So God says, look, I'm going to be your God, and I'm going to provide for you a shepherd. And he is going to be your prince, David. And again, calling someone David would also include someone in David's line. Ring any bells? It does. So God here is saying, I'm going to provide for you a shepherd along the line of David. We know David to be a good shepherd, right? I mean, even before he fought the Philistine, he said, hey, I was out there and God was helping me with, you know, all the big animals and I was fighting all those off. So David did a good job as shepherd. And now God is saying that I'm gotten rid of your bad leaders. You guys need to treat each other the right way, and I'm going to give you a shepherd. I'm going to do my job as God, and I'm going to give you a shepherd. And so when we come to the New Testament, when we come to the life and ministry of Jesus as shepherd, okay, well, it fits in to this line of how God is taking care of his people. So turn over to John chapter 10. John chapter 10 in the New Testament is one of the greatest discourses or speeches that Jesus gives about being a shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. All right, so Jesus comes along, and being a descendant of David, being along the promised line of David, he shows up and he is telling God's people, I am your shepherd. I'm the shepherd that God told you about. I am the one that God promised to help you, to guide you, to lead you to a good place, to bring you, and we love verse 10, right? I mean, John 10:10, we all know that. I've come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I'm going to feed you well. I'm going to take care of you. I have not come to enslave you. I've come to set you free. And so Jesus takes all these claims upon himself and he says, hey, guess what? I'm also the door of the sheep. I'm the one who's going to lead you there, and I'm also the entrance of where there even is. So Jesus is the gate of the sheep. And so he is letting Israel know, I'm the only way that leads to life. And so all the things that we have about salvation being in no other name, that we only find eternal life in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he is pointing to that, and he is using this motif, this idea of sheep and shepherd, and he is drawing from what God has promised his people so long ago, and he is saying, here it is. This is the fulfillment. I am the way that you come to God, and I'm the one that's going to lead you to God. And again, anyone making such claims, everyone, and we know, we've read through the gospel, we know what a hard time God's people had in looking at Jesus going, yeah, I don't know about this. I don't know if you're qualified to to do such things. I don't know if I can really trust you. And so what does Jesus point out? What part of his role as shepherd does he point to show them that he is a shepherd that is trustworthy to follow? What does he say about himself? Yeah, exactly. He says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Other people, they're going to try to sneak in and they're going to try to take you away from God. Other people are going to come in, they're going to make big promises. But when the enemy comes, you know where they're going to be? Gone. He says, I am the good shepherd because I am willing to die for your life. He says, I am willing to give my life so that you all can live. That is the role of a good shepherd. And no one else can take that role except for Jesus Christ. He lays down his life for his sheep. And so we can trust when he calls us to find good pasture. The same things, the same promises we got from Psalm 23. We can trust where Jesus calls us because he is the good shepherd. We hear his voice, we recognize his voice, and we say, okay, he knows where life is. He knows where good food is. He knows where peace and calm are. He knows where protection is. He's going to take care of everything I need. He was a part of making me and getting me here. He's a part of redeeming me and bringing me back to where he is. I can trust him every step of the way. So when the good shepherd, when Jesus has to use one of his tools and say, no, careful. Get back in line. I can trust that. I can trust that. How many times does the Holy Spirit speak to you and go, yeah, that's probably not something you want to get into. And we either were faithful and we said, okay, all right, well, I appreciate that. Thank you. And we stayed where we should, or we just said, you know what? I think I'm just going to do it my way. I think I'm just going to dance over here where it's a little darker and a little dangerous. Yeah, we've been there too, right? Where we've said, you almost got me with your rod and your staff. You almost caught me, but I escaped it, so I'm going to go over here and play with some danger. And we put ourselves in those positions as well. And we've learned that that's not a good place to be. That's not a good place to be. We've also, and it's not just been, again, we do this when we try to want to get into something, some sin that we know we shouldn't be into. We also isolate ourselves. God says, hey, here's where all my sheep are. I've got them all together and we're going to stay together for safety. And sometimes we go, I'm just going to be my own sheep. I'm just going to be over here. And the farther we get over here, you notice what happens? None of those other sheep understand me. None of those other sheep care about me. None of those other sheep know what I'm going through. And we just start to do this, and we start to do this, and we start to do this, and we separate ourselves from the flock, don't we? We pull ourselves away, right? So we have got to allow God to be our shepherd. And we find the power of Yahweh Rohi. We find the power, the Lord is our shepherd. We find the power of this name in his willingness to lay down his life for us. Our shepherd died so that we could live. And that's our confession. That is our hope. And that is everything that we say, everything we proclaim, and everything that we draw life from. We are followers of Jesus Christ because we have heard his voice. We have recognized it as the only one who truly cares about us. The only one that says, I know what life is supposed to look like. I know how to give you the good things that it is to provide. Come with me. And we heard his voice and said, you know, after a time of testing, okay, can I really trust Jesus? Well, yes, because he died for me. Can I really know that he has my best intentions in his heart? Yes, because he was willing to leave his place with the Father and come down here and live faithful and obedient and give his life for me on the cross. And having done so, being raised from the grave, having defeated death, he is where I want to be, alive. We all want to live, don't we? I mean, you know, some days not so much, but for the most part, we want to live. And we want to be where life exists. And so God, in bringing his son back to life and raising him from the dead, he has broken us free from the lifelong slavery of the fear of death. He has made a people who are no longer afraid of dying. And once you take away the fear of dying, there's really nothing left, is there? I mean, if you're not afraid of death, Jesus was raised eternal to provide and protect us. And he knows the Father. He knows the Father loves him because he has been faithful and obedient. Let's turn back. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to do one more thing here this morning. Matthew chapter 25. Because Jesus is going to tell us a little bit more about sheep. Now that we know him as the good shepherd, now that we know him as the gate of the sheep, he told Israel that cryptic message. He goes, hey, I've got some sheep from another flock. He was saying, I'm about to open this thing up. It's going to be for everybody. It's going to be for everybody. Here in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus talks about what all that is going to look like. Let's go down to verse 31. Matthew 25, 31. Because if God is our shepherd and we are his sheep, let's see how this turns out. Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Okay, so Jesus is giving them a view, a forward picture of what it's going to look like when he comes back in all of his glory with all of his angelic messengers. He's going to show up. He's going to be on his throne. And then there's going to be a separating. He's going to separate, and this tells us here in Matthew, sheep from goats. Okay? So the shepherd is now separating the flock. Verse 33, and he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come. You who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. All right. So once he separates sheep and, that's hard to say. Once he separates sheep and goats, he's going to put all of his sheep on the right hand side. He's going to say, okay, sheep, come in. My Father has a kingdom for you. It's been prepared for a long time. Come in and be a part of it. All right, so far, so good. Let's see. Verse 35. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when do we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when do we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. So Jesus says, look, sheep, faithful sheep, the ones that are called in, you acted like good sheep. You acted like good sheep. You looked out for each other. And again, this is the opposite of what he warned them back in Ezekiel. Back in Ezekiel, he said, you have to treat each other right. You can't go through just finding the best grass and then taking it all up for yourself and not trampling what someone else might eat. You can't, you know, jostle in place and live your life in such a way that, well, it's about me and what I can get and how I can beat others to it and how I can be first and who cares what happens to them. That's not what faithful sheep do. It's not just running to resources and I found it and who cares if there's any left over for anybody else. I got mine. And so God painted this picture of what it looks like. And Jesus said, here are the faithful ones, those who live their life in such a way that they treat other sheep the way God treats them. Jesus said, I'm looking for my sheep to treat their fellow sheep in a good way. That is, I'm looking for those who are actually taking what I told you of loving your neighbor as yourself, of putting others' needs above your own needs, of not only taking care of you, but also taking care of others. Jesus says, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. Well, what if he doesn't see it? Well, in verse 41, then he'll say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Those that get separated on the left, he said, okay, you can go. Where? Well, eternal fire. Well, who's there? The devil and his angels. Those who don't want to follow me. Those who don't want to do what I say. Those who don't want my lordship in their life. You can be away. Have at it. You can definitely be away from the safety of the shepherd. Go for it. I mean, we're all going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The only question is, are you going to walk with him or are you going to walk on your own? He says, you can walk on your own. There it is. There it is. Then he goes on. Well, why would you do that? Well, I was hungry. You gave me no food. I was thirsty. You gave me no drink. I was a stranger. You didn't welcome me. Naked, you didn't clothe me. Sick and in prison, you didn't visit me. And they also will answer saying, well, Lord, when did we see you those things? When did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And then he'll answer them saying, truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. All right, so Yahweh Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. We learn that God takes care of us, and we also learn what God expects of us. God provides, God protects, so we have nothing to fear. He's going to meet every one of our needs. He's going to feed us what we need. He's going to feed us physically, spiritually. He's going to protect us from danger. He's not going to let us be consumed by the enemy. But because we are his sheep, because we belong to him, we are his flock, we have to treat one another the right way. Because we can't serve God directly. We can't give him something that he doesn't have. All we can do is serve others. And so he says, how you serve others is your service to me. If you do good for other people, you're actually doing good for me. If you don't do good for others, you're not doing good for me. So be good sheep. God does his job. He takes care of us so we can trust him completely. And then he says, be good sheep. Be good sheep. Take care of each other. Look out for each other. Bless each other. Be there for each other. Love each other. Do good for each other. So that when he comes back and he says, okay, it's time to separate, we can look at him and say, well, when do we see you in need? He said, every day. Because however you treated one of each other, that's how you treated me. So, Yahweh Rohi. Church, we celebrate. We enjoy and we praise God for the fact that he has sent us a shepherd. So that none of us are alone. None of us are just crying out in the wilderness all by ourselves. He takes care of us. He looks after us. He loves us. And he loves us so much that he laid down his life for us. That's why he's the only one worth following. He's the only one worth living for. He's the only one worth devoting our lives to because he did lay his life down for us. So now that that has been done for us, our response is to be faithful sheep. It's to love other people. It's to treat them the way that we've been treated. So that's the power of Yahweh Rohi. I hope that you will live that this week, that you'll remember that, because you're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You're going to face stuff that's ugly, pretty dark, and nasty. And you're going to trust God? Stay close to Him? Or you can try to go your own way? You have your choice. Let's make good choices. Let's make good choices. This morning, if you're not a Christian, if you are not one of His sheep, we invite you to be saved. Because He is the shepherd, He's also the gate. If you hear His voice, you hear Him call, He's the only way to get there. He's the only way to get there. So if you need to respond today, we invite you to do so.